Hey, it's Elle.
And M.
And you're listening to the Baby Project Podcast.
In this podcast, we will discuss our journeys as well as other warriors going through the ups and downs of infertility.
There's ups?
Yes, there's ups.
Okay. As a reminder, be kind to yourself and skip as needed. We know some topics may be triggering. Let's get talking.
Today we have Alex joining us on our podcast from the same province as us and from Canada's capital, Ottawa. Alex is a very busy full-time office administrator who loves to be with her husband outside with her three dogs and ride the trails on their four-wheelers. Alex loves exploring and trying new things, but also can be the biggest homebody and couch potato. Welcome to the Baby Project, Alex.
Hi!
Yay, welcome!
Thank you.
With the couch potato, I'm going to assume that it involves Netflix and binging series. Is that right when you say you're a couch potato?
Absolutely, yes.
Is there a series that really stands out to you that you like were pretty much glued to the couch that you remember?
Well, I think a lot of people can agree with me when I say Grey's Anatomy. Oh, yeah. That's one that I can start, finish, and then restart. and then total opposite, we just finished The Walking Dead and I was glued. I fell really far behind in it and I caught up, and yeah, it's complete opposite than Grey's Anatomy, but it's good.
Those two are very good series. But how many times have you watched Grey's Anatomy series again and again?
I don't.
Whoa!
Like, definitely more than five. And I just saw actually last night that there's now 17 seasons on Netflix. And I think the last season I saw was 13. So I definitely have catching up to do.
Oh my gosh.
I love that. I love when they release a season and then you're like, yes. Cause then you have something to look forward to.
And it's like, do I start the whole thing over again? Or can I just backtrack to the newest or the most recent season?
Yeah.
So
what often do you do? Do you do the whole thing again?
Grey's Anatomy, you have to start from the beginning. You have to see it all. You missed too much.
Yeah, it's true. I gave up a couple seasons in. I tried to catch up a few years ago and I just couldn't do it. I sit and blubber. Like,
yeah.
I'm bawling my eyes out. My nose is running. I can't breathe.
And
it's awful. Yeah. It is just
a There are a lot of tear jerker moments. There's some funny ones too, though. There's some good ones.
Yeah. And like the whole, you know, the romance and the drama behind it is really great, but it's far too, it tugs at my heartstrings too heavy. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of love in Grey's Anatomy, do you want to dive into how you met your husband, how long you've been together? What's your love story? What's your Grey's Anatomy's love story version?
So we met actually online. On a website that doesn't exist anymore, Plenty of Fish. So I had never done the online thing. I was really nervous. You get a lot of weird messages, but you definitely, you put yourself out there and you can meet a lot of people. Whether you're looking for a relationship or a friendship, you really have that opportunity. So we met and talked for, I think it was over a month before I agreed to meet him in person. So we talked, got to know each other, and then we met in person, and it was like we're inseparable, and we saw each other almost every day, and now it's 10 years together in November, and we just celebrated our first year married in September.
Whoa!
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think Plenty of Fish is still around.
Do you?
I heard
that it got taken away, but who knows?
I'll have to ask my cousin. One of my cousins is on the date. I'm not personally on the dating website. Don't tell my husband. No, she's on a few of those. And I think, I feel like she said she was like signed up for Plenty of Fish.
Oh, no way. Well,
along with the other sort of like
success stories,
big ones, right? Yeah. She has had quite a few, shake your head like moments.
Yeah.
That you're like, how on earth did you like stand to have this conversation with someone or meet up with someone?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There's some
scary.
Exactly. And that's why I was cautious about that, because I'm a cautious person. And, I think I really wanted to get to know him before I saw him or gave him anything personal information of mine. So we got together, and I disclosed where we were meeting the night that we met, and to a good friend of mine. And yeah, it went really well. And he's a great guy.
That's awesome. So I have a quick funny story. Because I get her all the time to tell me kind of, you know, how it goes. And so she ends up telling me more of her like shitty, funny stories.
Yeah.
Success stories. So the last guy that she met up with, she too always lets somebody know where she is and meets up in like a public kind of place. So she went to, I can't remember if it was a pub or a bar or something like that. So they went to meet up to have a drink. And he had already pre-ordered appetizers when she got there, like before she even sat down. They were supposed to meet outside. Wow. And then he told her, she messaged him when she was outside and there was nobody there. So he's like, I'm inside. Just ask for me when you walk in. She was like, that's weird. So she went inside, she found him, sat at the table and whatever. And he's like, I already ordered appetizers. So she was like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then they're talking and, you know, conversation was kind of weird. It wasn't, you know, starting off great. And then the appetizers came, and one was fries or something with all kinds of stuff on it, like with topping. And then the other thing was like a lettuce, like the lettuce wraps that you can
make. Okay. Yeah. And
so he started to make these things with his hands. So like he would grab the like toppings for the lettuce wrap with his fingers and put it in the lettuce wrap. And he's like eating away. And she's like, I'm not eating that.
No.
Any utensils. He's like shuffling with his hands, eating with his hands.
Oh my gosh.
And she's like, needless to say, I went home hungry. Oh, I was just.
Oh, poor girl.
I know, I was dying. I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah.
I felt bad for her.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm really glad I didn't have to experience any of those, because I don't know what I would do in a situation like that.
Right? I know. It's, you don't want to be rude, but at the same time,
no,
like, it's a waste of
time. What are you doing?
Yeah. Did your parents teach you nothing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so happy that you had a successful love story.
Yeah, thank you.
And I mean, we're not sponsoring Plenty of Fish, or Plenty of Fish isn't sponsoring us or anything, but this is probably our second or third guest that has said that they met their husband through Plenty of Fish.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Hmm. So it's a reliable site.
There you go. Yeah.
So when you guys like first started talking and getting a little bit more serious, or maybe it was just in the beginning, did you guys have conversations about kids, or what was your original kind of family plan in your mind?
So when I met him, I was actually a brand new mom. My daughter was about a month old. So I told him that I had a daughter. My daughter was medically complex. So when she was born in 2011. The doctors noticed that she was struggling to breathe after delivery. She had spot bruising all over her body and just signs that were concerning. So they assessed her and made the decision to send her to CHEO, which is the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario, that we are very fortunate to have here in Ottawa, Ontario. So she was admitted to the NICU with multiple medical complications. Mm-hmm. After many tests and about 8 weeks admitted to the hospital, Macy was diagnosed with Phelan-McDermid syndrome. Phelan-McDermid syndrome is a rare genetic condition caused by a deletion of the 22nd chromosome. So some symptoms are low muscle tone, very delayed speech, developmental delay, trouble eating. So Macy was a more severe case, I would say. She had no speech. She could not sit. She could not day to day do anything unassisted. At about 2 months old, she had a G-tube placed in her stomach, which is a tube that she received all her nutrients and medications through. And at about 2 months old, Macy was diagnosed palliative as well. So during her time in the hospital, when I was also meeting this new man, it wasn't a thought of having more children at that time. She was my main focus for as long as I would have her. And he was really good at understanding that. He knew that she was very complex, and he didn't know how long we would have with her either. So she was all around our main focus. He really stepped in and became a father figure to her. And it was something that I never really expected, because I didn't even know what to expect in her life. So how would someone on the outside just step in and accept it all? Mm-hmm. But I'm so grateful that he did, because he gave her an awesome role model. So I'll always be grateful for that. In late 2015 is when, I guess in 2015, we really started talking. Macy was stable. She was doing well. She started a school program, still very delayed, medically complex, all of that, and a lot of appointments in hospital. But we hit a point where we were stable. So my husband and I, we spoke about trying to have a baby, and in 2015 we found out we were pregnant. Mm-hmm. Which was very exciting, yes. But going back to, I guess, Macy's diagnosis, to get there, I was also tested. My blood was taken, sent to California, and my chromosomes were looked at to see where her break came from. And it was found out that I have a balanced chromosome translocation. Essentially what that is a piece of my 22nd chromosome is on my X chromosome and vice versa. So I have all the pieces that I need. I just have two that are in a different spot. So at the time of conception for my daughter, I guess her chromosomes got a little bit confused, and instead of switching, one of hers just broke off. So she was missing a piece of her 22nd. So when we decided to have children, and when we became pregnant, we wanted to do testing to make sure that we were prepared for any issues or special needs that our next child would have. With my daughter's diagnosis being palliative, if this was able to pass on to another child, we wanted to know that and make a decision on whether to keep that pregnancy or disrupt it. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy decision to make at all. But for us, seeing my daughter live the life that was more of a struggle than anything else for her, it would be hard to see another child go through that. So we did what's called, I'm probably going to butcher this, but it's chronical villus sampling, CVS testing, which is a test done around 11 and 14 weeks pregnant. They essentially take a sample of the placenta and are able to test the chromosomes of the baby that way. So the test is done, like I said, around 11 to 14 weeks of pregnancy. It takes about 4 to 6 weeks for results to come back, and then you get your results. So we did that with our pregnancy in 2015, and our results came back that we were pregnant with a little boy that had the same diagnosis as my daughter. So essentially, it would be the Phelan-McDermid syndrome and a palliative diagnosis. So at that time, we did make the decision to disrupt the pregnancy. Like I said, I think I'll never have peace of mind about that decision that I made. But at the same time, knowing that I don't have to watch my children die, it's one or the other, right? So for us, we chose to disrupt the pregnancy, and it was hard. We took some time and we waited. And when we were ready, we tried again. So we waited about a year. In 2016, I was pregnant again. We did our CVS testing and waited, and the results came back that our second daughter received the exact same diagnosis. So another palliative diagnosis. And again, we decided to disrupt that pregnancy.
Oh my goodness, Alex.
This is, wow.
I don't know how, that is unbelievable.
Saying it feels unreal. Like who yeah. has that much bad luck? Like, I don't think I've broken a mirror in my life. Like, I'm not superstitious, but who has that much bad luck?
I feel like too, I do want to make mention to the testing. So having to wait until 11 to 14 weeks to do yes. this testing, and then having to sit and wait for another 4 to 6
yes.
fucking weeks is terrible.
Exactly. Exactly.
Something
so
needs to be changed with that. I can't, you know, I don't thank know how you. To do that, but someone needs to change that process.
Something. Yeah. There should be, I mean, we're doing IVF. Like there should be good, better science for genetics and testing and stuff like that. So by the end of the wait and the results with my son, I was 17 weeks. And with my my second daughter, I was 17 weeks, 8 days.
Oh my gosh.
I guess thankfully with having my daughter Macy at home, we were involved with a palliative home here in Ottawa. And they had a social worker that was able to tell me that I could get the remains of both my children. So thankful for that I was able to advocate to myself to tell the hospital that these are my babies. They're not just something that I want forgotten. And we actually do have both of our son and daughter cremated at home. So that's a nice part of it, I guess, if you're looking for that silver lining.
I think it's important, like that piece is important. We need to honor that they
yes.
existed. You need to hold space for them as well, because mm-hmm. your heart, they have two pieces of your heart, right? They
yeah.
are part
yeah.
of you. And I think it's super important to advocate for yourself, to hold space for them, because they were here.
Yeah.
You know, they were here.
Only they existed. Time, yeah.
But yeah, mm-hmm. they were here. They were part of your family. And I think that's great that you have them honored in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Macy was born, we did meet with a genetic counselor and did get our diagnosis. But at that time, they didn't know much about balanced chromosome translocations and told us that, you know what, you shouldn't have an issue. We will do the testing when you're pregnant to make sure, but we don't see this happening again. She told me that I won a very crappy lottery with Macy. So the fact that we have 3 for 3 is kind of mind blowing. And then after we lost our second daughter, I requested a meeting with a genetic counselor, because mm-hmm. I needed some more information, and I didn't quite feel like I was educated enough on my diagnosis or what this meant for us going further. So when I did meet with them after both of our losses, they were quite shocked, but essentially told us that IVF is the way to go for us.
I'm just going to ask the genetic counselor, how did you find them? I'm like, where were they? Were they through a fertility clinic, or like, how did you?
No, I met them through CHEO when my daughter was diagnosed. So they did okay. my daughter's diagnosis, and then to find out if her diagnosis came from myself or her biological father, they wanted to test us. So I got tested, and that's when they found my balanced chromosome translocation. They have a pretty good genetic clinic at CHEO, and I think that if I didn't have Macy and was already in that kind of circle, it would be much harder for us to find this all out. Like, So it's kind of a blessing in disguise when we got her diagnosis and then my diagnosis, because if I never would have received my diagnosis, I think we still would have been struggling with loss and not knowing where to go. Like when we met with the genetic counselor, they were really helpful in telling us that we could go to the Ottawa Fertility Clinic and they would refer us, and they were really supportive and gave us our options and all of that.
I wonder too, as in just sort of hearing your story in that, if it were something that you had known the first time around with Macy, right? Like after Macy.
Yeah.
If it were something that you had known or were properly counseled on, maybe the
yes.
chances, or I don't know if they have percentages and that sort of thing, but and given you sort of a better outline as to maybe yeah. how frequently this could come up. Like you said, you won the shitty lottery with,
yeah.
you know, that with this situation. But if IVF could have came up sort of sooner for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. And maybe that's the downfall of meeting with the CHEOs or with the genetic clinic at CHEO, is they were really there for Macy, not for me and my future having children. I mean, like they were a support to me, but they were there to get the diagnosis for Macy. So I think once they got my diagnosis, they did want to help me, but their job wasn't to help us have more children. Once we had our last loss, found out our diagnosis and spoke with the genetics, and they said to pursue IVF. We were quite anxious to do so. But I wanted to wait. I had just gone through two losses. And Macy's health wasn't fantastic. So I just wanted to wait. So we did.
And I feel like that's fair.
Yeah. You totally need to.
I just needed a break. Yeah.
Cause that mentally, that's a lot emotionally yeah. too. Like,
yeah,
you needed that time for sure.
And just cool down. Yeah. And, then in 2017, in 2017, we lost our daughter, Macy. Her health really declined that whole year, and her body was just tired and couldn't keep up with everything that she was going through. So she was 5 years old, almost six. After three huge losses, we were just heartbroken. And we didn't really know what to do. Like we didn't have a clue what to do. We took our break from trying to conceive, and we were just kind of going through day to day. And then in November of 2019, I found out I was pregnant again. We didn't try. I was tracking my cycles, because I always do, and everything seemed normal. And then I was late, and we went to the doctor, and they were like, surprise, back to testing again. We needed a dating ultrasound. So we went for that. I thought I was around 9 weeks pregnant with my calculations, but when we went in for the ultrasound, I was measuring less than six. And I did not see a heartbeat. The ultrasound tech wasn't saying much. And I think just through all my experiences, I knew, and we had miscarried. At that point, I was done. I didn't want to try naturally. There was just nothing left in me. I knew I wanted children, and I knew we needed help. So we contacted our fertility clinic, and the relief of just, I know that IVF is not a guarantee whatsoever, and it's going to be hard and it's going to be a fight, but just knowing that there's another option and someone that's going to support us and help us to try to get what we want, I'm really excited. That might sound crazy and naive, because I haven't been here, but I'm excited.
I don't think it sounds crazy at all. I want to say we are so sorry for your loss. Your losses, not just, you know, not just Macy, but all of the losses, but we're so sorry that you have to go through this, like that you've had to go through this. This is, it is really something that nobody should ever have to do.
Thank you.
You know, no parent should ever have to say goodbye to their child in that way. And it is just, it's horrific that you've had to experience this more than once. We can totally understand and, you know, relate that sometimes, you know, IVF, like you said, is not, it's not 100%. It's not a guarantee. And we kind of are really preachy with that because people automatically assume that IVF equals a baby and it doesn't.
Or more than one.
Yeah. Put your order in, you know, like.
Yeah. Like how many do you want?
But in your case in particular, and I think too, it's sometimes that, like you said, that release and relief in that you'll get some answers and you won't have to go through the loss and grief. And even just, I can only imagine in 2019, when you found out you were pregnant again, it must be like happiness, but like sheer terror at the exact same time, because you're so worried that shit, is this going to be the same thing again?
That's exactly it. Like, so exciting because this is what we want so badly, but am I just going to lose it? Like, is it going to be sick? Is what's going to happen? Like, there's so many questions and our history with loss is so high that it's hard not to go that way. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's going to happen again. Prepare yourself for the worst. Don't get attached. Like, even going for that dating ultrasound, do I get a picture? Do I not get a picture?
I can't even begin to imagine how that must feel. And the only thing I can relate to is that, like, I have embryos and they were genetically tested. And then if thankfully for myself, the ones that I had genetically tested came back that they were normal. But I feel like if I had ones that I did have a lot more that were untested, so I didn't know. So I'm sure there's some in there that were abnormal. So having to let go of them, and I don't want to diminish the attachment that you have to your embryos as well, because to me, as soon as they're made, they're my babies.
They're your babies.
They're ours. Yep. So I don't want to diminish that, you know, finding out at the moment that your embryos are created that, you know, but I think it's a totally different thing than if you have them inside of you and they're growing, and for yourself that you have to wait until you're almost halfway through the pregnancy by the time you're getting the results and answers that you've been searching for. So I feel like for you, this is like a huge step in the right direction in, like, you just healing and being able to move forward and being able to handle the loss of your embryos if they do come back abnormal versus the loss of a child that's growing inside of you.
So moving with our IVF, we are actually going to do egg donation.
Okay. Tell us about that.
We were told that we could use my eggs and we could test them. But with our history, it wasn't looking good. So in my mind, when I was told that we needed IVF, we needed IVF with an egg donor. It wasn't going to be my eggs. I had made that decision because I can't take it anymore. I can't, like you said, I can't make those embryos and then have none or have one, or like, for me, it was, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this with an egg donor and we're going to take every chance we can get. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to use an egg donor. I have a fantastic friend of mine that I've known forever. She's been with me through every loss, through every exciting moment with Macy, through Macy's loss, through my grief journey after losing Macy. And when I told her that we were doing IVF, the excitement on this girl's face was like mine. Like, she was more than excited than I was. And I didn't even have to ask her. The first words out of her mouth were, "I want to give you my eggs."
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I don't know how I will ever repay her or thank her or I have no idea, but she's a Wonder Woman. So that's the route we're going to take. We had our first consult last summer, and jumped on the funding wait list because in Ontario, your first round of IVF is funded. There are some things that are not, like some of the medications and things like that, but for the most part, a lot of it is covered. So we jumped on that wait list and we were approved for fund. Well, our time came for funding the summer of 2020. So we did our baseline testing. My husband did his baseline testing. Everything looks great from there. So now in August, our egg donor had her consultation. So now she has to do her baseline testing and some other testing to make sure that she's a good match for us. And then I'm really, really, really hoping for spring transfer. But we were already told that for a potential of a fall transfer, and that's already been pushed off to now spring. So I don't want to get too excited, but hopefully sooner than later.
No, it's the waiting game.
Yes. Terrible.
Wow.
Can we speak a little bit to egg donation in Canada? What has been sort of the process? It's a little bit different, I guess, for yourself because you have a known egg donor that you have sort of brought in with you.
We didn't really look into egg donor through a clinic or anything because when we previous to meeting with the clinic, she had already offered. So we had known from the beginning that we are using a known donor for conceiving with her. So she will come to Ottawa in the spring or whenever we're ready for our transfer. Our doctor would like to do a fresh transfer rather than a frozen. That's his preference and I'm okay with it. So she will likely be here for about 3 weeks. She'll be monitored previous to her cycle and then have her retrieval done. And then they will make our embryo with her egg and my husband's sperm. And then when our doctor thinks that the embryo is ready, we will do our transfer with all the medications and all of that. I can't tell you all of that side because I haven't done it yet. So I'm not exactly sure what medications are involved, but know that there's quite a bit.
You know those medications well. Yeah. And when it comes time, if you need the support, we will totally be there for you.
Perfect. Yes. Thank you.
We have some tips and tricks. Can't say they all work, but it helps a little.
I'll try it. Yeah.
So did you guys have, because you had a known donor, did you guys still have to, I think, again, I'm not 100% familiar with the donor process, because I haven't been through it myself. And you know, we all in this world, we go from knowing literally nothing to becoming
knowing everything.
Yeah.
Being experts for sure.
Between all of our research and our personal experiences and then with the community learning from each other. We quickly become experts, but do you have to go through, like, did you need to draw up any kind of like contracts or lawyers? Was anything involved in with that?
Yeah, we will. So it's really funny, actually. I would not think of it, but essentially me being the, I guess, intended parent, could go after the egg donor for child support if, say, I wanted to be a terrible person and ungrateful. So you can actually go after your egg donor, or I'm not sure sperm donor, but you could actually get child support from them. So we will have a lawyer draw up a contract saying that I obviously don't want anything from her. And we will have a part in it that says she won't have parenting rights to the child. But once the egg is removed from her, really, it's just a cell in the eyes of the law, I guess, and she would lose rights to it regardless. But we will get a lawyer involved just to protect both of us in case of anything. But I don't see anything bad happening, but you never know.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't even think that at all. You're right. Like, wow.
I was shocked. I was like, why would someone do that? Number one. Number two. That's crazy. I would think the other way around, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Is there anything just on the egg donation again, for anyone going kind of doing like listening that maybe is doing their research or just thinking about it in this particular part, is there anything that you would want to say to them to kind of offer advice or any kind of tip if they're in sort of a similar situation in regards to the egg donation?
I think you have to choose what's meant for you and what feels right for you. Mm-hmm. Choosing not to use my eggs was hard. Don't get me wrong. And there's still times now that I think, but will my child feel like I'm their mother? Like if we're in the same room as our egg donor, will they know? Because that's also something that I've done a lot of research on is sharing this information with your donor conceived child. And if you choose not to share that information, I've read a lot that children just know, or they grow up feeling out of place or like they don't fit in, and I would never want that for my child. So I do have some fears, and I think those will go away when and if we're lucky enough to have our child. But for me, choosing an egg donor it just felt like the right decision because of what I experienced and all the loss that I had experienced. Mm-hmm. I couldn't take any more. And although we're choosing an egg donor, I still plan to carry the child, and I think that'll grow the bond. And just being honest and open, and none of this is easy.
I think it's one of those things. It's, you know, obviously for all of us, regardless of what our journey is, whether it be, you know, going through treatments, because that's a process you have to come to terms with, going through adoption, going through embryo adoption, donor eggs, surrogacy, all of us, we sort of all have to come to terms with it. But I think in what you're trying to say is that like when you know it's the right thing, when you kind of know that it's the right thing for you to do, it's the right thing. Like it's time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I was thinking of too? So if your doctor likes to do a fresh transfer, that means that you and your friend will be cycling at the exact, like they'll have to somehow make you guys cycle at the exact same time.
Yeah.
To line it up, right?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I know. We were like, so to speed this up, should I just come move in with you for a few weeks or a few months and see if we could just get it ourselves?
Just sync up your cycle?
Yeah. We're not going to go that crazy though.
Well, yeah, with modern technology, don't even need to.
The magic
of medicine.
There we go.
I just want to say, you are brave, Alex. Listening to your story, like loss after loss, and you standing up, even though it was freaking hard every time. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how you did it, and you did it. And I'm just lost for words. I can't even describe it. And you're grieving, but you're making decisions too. And to make the decision to go ahead and do this route with the donor eggs, it's just, you're brave and you're strong. And like, if people don't tell you that enough, like I'm telling you that right now.
Thank you.
I want to sort of focus a little bit on like grief with the loss, because I feel like loss is something that women don't talk about enough. Like we feel like, you know, you need to be quiet, you need to move forward, not talk about it. And like, you know, like our whole world is right. Infertility.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's this shame that's associated with it. How did you like, what helped you cope through your grief, and how did you sort of get through it?
I had a support system, and it was very, very small, but it was strong. Mm-hmm. One being our donor, she backed us up and she helped us out, and she was supportive. Like I said, like she let me tell her whatever I needed to say, and she didn't even need to say anything back, just the support. The support was needed. And then my daughter, Macy, was also part of Roger Neilson House, which is a pediatric palliative care facility here in Ottawa. And the staff there are phenomenal. Even though she had passed away, they still support the families of lost children. So I had a social worker through them, and I didn't really need to make an appointment with her. Like, I knew her through all of Macy's life. So when it came to our grief, I could just show up there if I was having a crappy day, and she would sit with me, and, or I could call her and she would answer. And like I said, it wasn't a big group, but just having the people there when you absolutely need them, I think that's really important. Also, having been in this special needs group as well, I met other families and with other children who passed away. So they kind of were already there, and they were prepared to help other families who are going through loss. So just people that get it, which is the same thing with IVF. Like, after losing Macy, I felt like, okay, well, I'm not part of the special needs parenting world anymore. Now I'm in this grief world. Now I'm in this IVF world. So you want to educate yourself, you want to learn, but you also want to have people to fall on and that get it. So when you need to vent, they're not kind of staring at you with blank eyes. They're like, yes, mm-hmm. I've been there. I got you.
Or don't say inappropriate things to you when you need them the most.
It's exactly like, oh, you'll be okay. She's in a better place. No, I disagree. Completely. Fuck you. Disagree.
Oh, you can have another one. Fuck you. No, I can't.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Shut your mouth. Let's turn around.
A part of your support system, would you say your husband is a part of that support system?
Of course he is. He's definitely the one that keeps me standing. One thing that I've learned going through all of this is that men and women, or couples in general, partners, friends even, but couples grieve differently. And I think just like women don't really talk about their miscarriages or their loss, men don't talk about it ever. I don't think it's common for men to be vulnerable and speak of miscarriages or anything like that. When we lost our daughter, it was either a make or break us moment, and it made us 100 times stronger. And I really like it. It's great to have people that have been through it and that can support you and that understand it. But when your partner can be there and sit there and say nothing, and you know that they're feeling like you're feeling, it's such a relief to know that you're not the only one. It can also be really hard because some days I'll want to talk about her all day long and he's not really feeling it. So it's learning, it's working together, it's communicating. He's definitely kept me standing for the most part, and holds me up when I can't.
Yeah, it's a whole other bond.
Like, yeah,
your marriage is taken to a whole other levels, which I've often have said. It just it's a bond that you have. It's a deep bond, and no one will get it except for you two.
Yeah.
I think too, there's like no, I don't know if I'm incorrect in saying this, but there's kind of like no in between. It's either it really like anyone that we've spoken to, it either kind of people grow apart because of the space that ends up between the two of you because of the hardships through, you know, loss, infertility, grief, just everything. And like you said, processing things differently. There's this like divide that happens. Or, you know, with the women that we spoke with and even the men, that it brings you actually closer together.
Yeah.
Because you're facing it together as a team and you're continually, you know, there for each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Supporting each other.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's so good. Because we, you know, sometimes I think we get so wrapped up in our own shit that it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. You know, you don't even have the the brain capacity to try to process what's happening within your own heart, that you have to now think that somebody's actually going through this with you.
Yeah.
And you have to try to support them at the same time. So I think it's a like balancing act that we're constantly doing.
There are days that he'll be grieving and it'll just be quiet moment. And it'll almost be like, well, do you want to talk about it? But I know that he doesn't. So you also have to learn their cues, right? So you can support them. And like you said, it makes you stronger, or you move apart. And I'm grateful that it made us a lot stronger.
I think that's so important. That's so important to recognize how your partner is processing whatever stage you're at or whatever you're going through, and recognize how they deal with things and allow them to have that.
Yeah. It's important, because me, I'm okay with curling up in a ball and crying about it, but some people aren't. So learning how they cope and being there for them is just as important.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
I love curling up with a ball.
It's my hobby.
I've done it too many times. If I never have to do it again, it's too soon. Absolutely. I'm totally right there with you. I'm a crier. I want to just sit and soak in the moment of misery.
Yeah.
Is there something, Alex, that you want to say to someone who, now this is different from the egg donor, that would be maybe going through a similar situation as yourself? Because although, unique, it is not, you're not the only one. There are other people going through this with having issues as far as genetics go, and just the loss and going through this shitty process.
You're not alone. It is the most isolating thing that you can go through, with loss, just not knowing where to turn, whether it's genetics or IVF or child loss, or you're in your grief journey. You're not alone. And it might be scary, but try to find somebody who gets it. And that's what I was doing when I started our LeBlanc's Rainbow Baby journey on Instagram. Is I didn't know anybody with my diagnosis of a balanced chromosome translocation. I didn't know anybody who's been through what I've been through. And I wanted to meet somebody or read somebody's story and say, yes, that's me. Or, oh my gosh, I've been there. Mm-hmm. And just like child loss and genetics and all of that, is you're not alone. So don't go through it alone.
Absolutely. For myself, podcasts have helped so much, because some of those dark thoughts that I've had, and even just general thoughts, not even the dark ones, because some of them you feel guilty for thinking them, but then hearing other people talking about their stories, and when you can relate to them and think, oh fuck yes, I thought that too, I feel that way too, it's okay.
It is so good. And I mean, start opening a public social media page or a podcast. I mean, like, that's a big step. It doesn't have to be that, but just search for that group or that person, or I mean, get out there if you want to. Open your page and do your thing, but you just need somebody. Mm-hmm. Everybody does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we do have the technology that can be anonymous, and you
exactly
can be immersed in this world.
Yeah.
And find the supports that you need, but nobody needs to know who you are, which is
exactly
great. It is really great.
Al just discovered that.
I did. 7.5 years too fucking late, but I'm happy that I did.
Me too, because you wouldn't believe it. Like, days where like you just had a transfer, right? So then you're following other people, and there's some ladies that are also had the transfer on the same day as you. So then you're like, okay, like whatever post that they put, you can totally relate to with their emotions. And like,
exactly.
Or if it's a negative, you look at, oh, someone else had, like, you have that that, you know, you can relate to them and you don't feel alone. And then there's some times when you're going through the feeds and then like there's these one worders or two sentences where it's just like, yeah, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. It's okay not to be okay. That's some people say, or I got this. Like, yeah, I needed that little push. So I can definitely see the perks of social media. And especially in this community too.
No, and that's, I opened our page because I wanted to have an eye into our future and see how hard it was going to be. Cause I know that I'm naive about our first round, and I kind of wanted to put some realistic thoughts into my head rather than, I mean, it's great to be hopeful, but you have to prepare yourself for everything. So, I was also told by our genetic counselor that I would likely not meet anybody with a balanced chromosome translocation. And I have a few followers on my page that do have them. So it's really neat that not only am I meeting people who are doing egg donor IVF, but meeting people who are doing IVF with their eggs and have the same diagnosis as I am, or just all the, everything. I just, it's a good platform.
Oh, wow. Does that not give you hope, eh?
Yeah, it really does, because even if it's a hard journey that I see them going through, it's still a journey that's potentially getting us in the same direction. I mean, not everything is rainbows and sunshine in the IVF group, but I've learned a lot, and I'm grateful to be a part of the community.
And we all have the same goal. We all want a baby at the end of the day, a healthy baby. We
healthy
all want
baby.
A family. Yeah. So like when, you know, we first started out, did I think that our, you know, path to a family would end up where we are today? Absolutely friggin' not.
Yeah. But,
so we don't always get there the way that we originally anticipated. And there's a lot of bumps along the way, but you know, our goals are all the same. So
yeah,
it's great to see that, you know, people and the ones, even that the success stories, right? The ones that achieve after great hardships and kind of like that, you know, lucky pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's like, oh, you know what? We can get there. It gives you kind of that hope to keep moving forward. But we just have to keep in mind that our end goal is a baby. It doesn't matter if it was through surrogacy, through donor, through adoption, through whatever other treatments and testing, or even if it's natural, like our goal is a family. I can imagine that it's difficult, you know, for sure to share your story and to open up with your, you know, losses and stuff. And we, again, are so sorry that you've ever had to experience this in your lifetime, as I mentioned that nobody ever fucking should. But we truly admire your strength, and, you know, you're going to make a huge difference within this world for somebody else, maybe going through something similar to you. So your courage for even being public with your, you know, your profile and reaching out to other people and that sort of thing. It's really wonderful. We're truly looking forward to sharing your journey as you move forward into this new chapter, and our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Thank you both so much. It means a lot that you would have me on, because like I haven't started our IVF treatment yet, but we're going there. So it means a lot that you guys had me, and thank you so much for all your kind words.
Yeah. And you've just gained, you know, two new cheerleaders, you know, support people in on your team. We are right there with you, backing you up 100%. And if you ever need anything, please reach out to us. And like Em said, we got some tips and stuff that we can offer for IVF.
Well, you'll be hearing from me.
And we're going to be totally following you and creeping on you and making sure your journey's going as smooth as it can be.
Perfect. Great.
Remember, everyone, in any project, including the baby project, you must take things one step at a time.
Got a question for us? Or perhaps you would like to share your story and be a guest on our podcast? Feel free to connect with us by emailing us at thebabyproject_@outlook.com or DM us on Instagram @thebabyproject_. Thanks for listening.